Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A mighty miracle has occurred in the lives of each of us. God's miracle. God's miracle to pour faith into our hearts. Someone has spoken to us the words of the gospel, and those words of gospel have been God's power unto salvation within us. We've heard them and we believe them, and so we are brothers and sisters together today. Someone was God's ambassador to us with his precious word. We are called upon to be ambassadors to one another. So it's right for me to address you this day. Hello, fellow ambassadors. Let's view again the message that is ours as ambassadors, and then we reaffirm that indeed we are messengers from our God. From the words of 2 Corinthians, in Christ, God was getting rid of the enmity between himself and the people of the world by not counting their sins against them. The message we speak as ambassadors for Christ is a well-known message, a two-part message. Its first part speaks of sin, that sin is real, sin is severe, and sin separates a man from God. Remember how the Bible says, we were God's enemies. It's hard for you and it's hard for me, it's hard for all men to recognize the difference between a holy God and we who are sin-stained mortals. God describes his holiness as perfection in every point. He says he is holy, and we are called upon as creatures of God to be holy even as he is holy. We know that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we become guilty as lawbreakers. So we have not been holy like God. Therefore, each one of us is indeed a sin-stained being. And each one of us by nature is deserving of God's judgment. Hell should be our lot. Therefore, no one should ever say, God, give me what I deserve. For if we were to receive what we deserve, it would be condemnation forever. This is our message to our world. Sin is real. Sin separates from God, and we all have deserved his wrath and his judgment. At the beginning of many of our worship services, we confess with the words, I, a poor, miserable sinner, have deserved your wrath and judgment, O God. It is not natural for us to make that confession. By nature, we would rather say, O God, I've been a decent person, and certainly you're going to accept me as I am. And maybe at times we'd even say, in fact, I've been such a good person that you deserve, I deserve from you a place alongside of you. That's the way natural man learns to speak. But God has come to us and humbled us. By his word, he has broken down that natural self-pride and led us to say, yes, I am a sinner who has deserved God's wrath and punishment. By his word, he has enabled us to plead for his forgiveness, that we have come to repentance as his gift, his power working in our hearts, a word that someone else proclaimed to us, and a word that we now are to proclaim to one another. The second part of our message is equally familiar to ourselves. Again, from the words of our text, God made him who did not know sin to be sin for us, to make us God's righteousness in him. In this Lenten season, we have walked that way of the cross again, retracing the steps of Jesus, seeing that he who is God's Son, true God and true man, was willing to be crucified for us, that he bore in his body on the tree the guilt of all our sins, that there is forgiveness for ourselves and for all men. This is God's message to you and me. How often the devil blinds people to this message of God, clear as it is. As I have talked with various people and heard their expression, I'm going to be in heaven because I'm a good person. I've inquired further of them, of their understanding of Jesus, and was amazed to discover they knew him to be God and man, and they knew that he died on the cross. And I would wonder at those times, how can this person who knows those great truths still be trusting in what he has done for his salvation? And I learned, asked further, how did it help you that Jesus died on the cross? And so many said, I really don't know. And some said, If I can be as good as Jesus was, then God will receive me into heaven too. That even the gospel can be made a law of works in the hearts of natural man. God has come to you and me and shared his work. In our text, he says, God has done it all. And how often that truth of God is present in our scriptures, that God has done it all to give us a place with him in heaven. We remember the familiar words from Ephesians chapter 2, and also again from Titus chapter 3. God has done it all in Christ, not counting our sins against us. That's the message that we proclaim. It's the second part of our message. It's a clear message. We speak both sin and grace. We speak both judgment deserved, but forgiveness granted. And what a mighty power that word of God is in its results. God has made us his friends. God and men are made friends again. It is because of this Jesus that you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are together in the family of God. God has done it all. He has opened heaven's door to us by the work of Jesus on the cross. That's the well-known message that we deliver to the world in which we live. It's well to be refreshed in the truth that God sends us forth as his messengers. Indeed, we are ambassadors. In the words of our text, we're told, God has given us the work of making friends of enemies. And further, God has put into our hands the message how God and men are made friends again. As God calls us to believe in Jesus, he then enrolls us as another spokesman speaking of Christ to our world. Peter could describe this wonderful role that is ours. You are a chosen people, priests of a king, a holy nation, a people saved to be his own, and to tell of the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Could anyone deny that he is a messenger for Christ, speaking the word of salvation to all men? Remember again the words of the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. Remember again as Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven that he said, you will be my witnesses into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the farthest parts of the world. Yes, we are his messengers. We are his messengers by his direct appointment. And we are messengers because we are members of his family. Children of the family, declare that family to those around them. We, as the apostle said, cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. So indeed, we are the messengers, both by God's appointment for this task and by the virtue that we are children of God through Jesus Christ. Here then, a mighty miracle is described by our text. Your mouth and my mouth becomes the mouthpiece of God. God is pleading through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. Remember how Moses found that truth so hard to grasp. He said, I'm no speaker. Remember how God informed Moses, who made man's mouth? Who makes him speechless or deaf, seeing or blind? Don't I, the Lord? And now go, and I will be with you as you speak and teach you what to say. In family circles, fathers and mothers are ambassadors for Christ to their family members, teaching their little ones and all others who may be residents of their household, proclaiming to them the words of Christ and his forgiveness. And each member of that household is also an ambassador to the other members of the household, children to parents and children to siblings, each one speaking of Christ where he lives. And in our wider family, in the Christian gatherings, whether in a seminary family on this campus or in a congregation where we hold membership, we are God's ambassadors to each other. As we sing together, as we pray together, as we study God's word together, as we share the faith of our heart with one another, we serve as ambassadors for Christ, God's appointed people. The scope of our ministry does not end with our household or our community. Throughout the centuries, to the distant shores, men have gone with the gospel. Remember how St. Paul traveled the Mediterranean Sea and was supported by the prayers and the gifts of the people back home. So we have a part in being God's ambassadors as we send others forth in our behalf. It's my privilege to serve in a movement called the Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. In this movement, some 10 congregations in a given area agree together to conduct such a ministry. And the young people from those congregations come on a regular basis to grow in their ability to serve as ambassadors for Christ, not only as they witness in their communities, but as they witness to each other in their private life as well as in their public life. What a joy it is for me to see 8th and 9th graders come to a first weekend of sharing their faith, to see awareness occur in their lives as they discover the world around them does not know Jesus as their Savior. So many of these young people come from their world with everyone they know knowing Jesus, and they assume that's how it is everywhere. And then they discover that 3 out of 4 aren't able to verbalize a faith in Jesus in any way at all. And then they see that someone needs to tell our world about Jesus. And they discover that their friends and their peer group, other 9th and 10th graders like themselves, are able to do this. And they grow in their courage to share Christ as well. Indeed, we are all ambassadors for Christ. Not only those who are in a particular ministry called Ongoing Ambassador for Christ, but each one of us in whatever ministry God is calling us to. Many of you 4th-year men have your first assignment. Many of you 2nd-year men are going on your vicarage. All of these are opportunities for us to be ambassadors for Christ, speaking the word that has come to us, that has blessed us in such wonderful ways, giving us the peace that knows we have a home with God and God loves us now. And we can share that with our world. We can help others to have the same joy that is ours, as God works his miracle in them as he worked it in us through his mighty words spoken by his ambassadors. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.